Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day, and to grandmas, aunties, sisters, and even mother-in-laws. I appreciate you. Oh, isn't that good? I just hope you realize how much of an impact and influence you have on the people around about you. There's a Chinese proverb that says, a good woman prospers three generations. A bad woman ruins three generations. The point is, we all have an influence on the people around about us. We all, whether you're male or female, we all have an influence on the people that we come into contact with. People are watching us as we live our lives. They're absorbing and reflecting what you do and how you react and how you respond to different things that are happening. And all of us are in the same boat. We're all influencing one another. People are watching and asking, can I trust you? When I ask you to do something, can I trust you if you'll follow through and do it? Or are you worth following? Are you worth following? You know, studies have shown that, you know, how there's internet influencers that sell things online. And the studies show that young people don't care about how famous the person is that presents their product. They don't care about that. They won't listen to famous people like that. Who do they listen to? They listen to people who are in their age range and also who have a similar interest to them. They're influenced by their peers. They're just normal people who go about their business, and they listen to that because they are experiencing what they are going through. What's the definition of influence? It's the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. So you can have an influence over the car, the running of your car that you're working on. There's a good Mother's Day example for you. Or you can have an influence on the people that are around about you. You might sit there and think, I'm not an influencer. I'm quiet. I'm reserved. I sit in the corner of the room at a party. But even then, when you're quiet, reserved, even then you're influencing, you're having an impact on the people around about you. As an example would be Adam. Now, he didn't say anything when Eve gave him that fruit in the Garden of Eden. And yet, that had a huge influence on all of us. Just think, your life is a culmination of influences, the voices that you've heard, the lies that you've held on to, and the truths that you believe all represent in how you react and respond and behave in front of people. Every influence that you exert, there's a whole host of influences in your background making that a reality in your life, a choice that you've come to. And wherever we go, we leave some kind of fingerprint, footprint, earprint on the people around about us. We don't go through life in a vacuum. We impact and have an influence on people around about us. We're all influencers in our own way. It's just that we don't get the big bucks that the online sellers do. The big question is, who are you influencing? Who is watching you? What sort of influencer are you? Are you a positive example or a negative example? Think about the next three generations when you answer that. Jesus is the ultimate influencer. Jesus, in Matthew 5, Jesus grabbed hold of his disciples and sat them down next to him on the side of a hill and said, "This is what kingdom living is all about." This is, and he outlined 9 characteristics of kingdom living. The poor in spirit, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness. He outlined these characteristics and he turns what we would normally think as weaknesses, he turns them into strengths as positive attributes in his kingdom. And so he's turned our whole thinking upside down. It's not based on us gaining power. This is how the world thinks. We want to gain power. We want to gain strength and status and control. We want to climb that ladder and get ourselves in a better position. That's how the world thinks. But that's not how God thinks. In God's kingdom, whose control is it based on? It's based on God's power. It's based on his strength, the fact that he's sovereign. He has the status and the ability to control us. It's an upside-down kingdom. It just goes against our natural way of thinking. We've heard the taste and see sharing times, and thank you, Meredith, for sharing this morning. These are real people sharing their most vulnerable moments. They're going through their toughest times, and every time I hear a test and see segment, they get halfway through and say, "Now that's the worst of it. Wait and see what God's about to do." And so then they go on, but then God steps into my situation. Then God proved himself again and again. God exerted his influence in my life and made a big difference. Jesus said, "I've come into the world that you might have life and have it to the full." Now, I looked up other versions of that, and some versions say that you might have an abundant life, or life to the fullest, or a rich and satisfying life, or a better life than you ever dreamed of. In Jesus, the inference is that we can be fruitful, effective, impactful, and influential in our lives. We can make a difference. You know, some people think about being saved, coming to Jesus, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Yeah, that's great. And it's almost as though Jesus is a friend with benefits. And that's a crude way of saying that some people use God and they leave it at that. And they suck God for all that they can get out of him. But God's heart is something different. God wants to save everyone. God wants to impact everyone for his kingdom. He wants us to join him in his mission. He's influenced us so that we can influence others. So Jesus told his disciples, his followers, and he's telling us as well, "You are the salt of the earth." Pliny the Elder said, "There's nothing more useful than salt and sunshine." Isn't that a beautiful saying? This guy wasn't a Christian, he was a Roman historian. He wrote about nature in his books, but he recognized that salt and sunshine were key ingredients in living in this life. And Jesus told us that you are to be the salt of the earth. And there's three common attributes of salt: the sodium chloride, the NaCl of the substance salt. Its purity. The Romans thought that salt was purifying because all you needed was sunshine and the sea, and it created salt, something pure and white. And it was something to be honored. And even in the Jewish sacrifice system, salt was involved in the sacrificial system, bringing offerings before God. We also know that salt is good at preserving. And people can make meat last for over a year if it's treated properly with salt. It has a preserving effect, and it enhances flavor. Jesus is saying, to be my followers, you're to be different. Salt is different from porridge. Now, if you've ever been to camp and had porridge these days, they're not putting salt in anymore. It's terrible. Now, back in the day, that was the time to have porridge at camp. They had salt in their porridge, just a bland bowl of porridge and add a sprinkle of salt, and it would change the whole taste, the creaminess, the flavor of the oats would come through. Salt adds value. And Jesus is saying, do you add value? Does it make a difference? Has it made a difference in your life? You know, Robert Louis Stevenson wrote in his diary once that he went to church today and I am not depressed. He said that as though it's something unusual. He went to church and he came back and he wasn't depressed. Normally, he goes to church and he gets depressed. That church that he was going to didn't have any salt in it. It was bland. It was tasteless. And this guy recognized, oh, thank you, Lord. I've come away from the church service and I'm not depressed today. That's a good thing. Salt. Are we living as salt in our society? But Jesus warns, if it loses its saltiness, then it's nothing but useful for tossing out onto the footpath. Salt was sometimes mined from salt marshes where contaminants crept in to the salt crystals, and the real salt would wash away over time, leaving useless dust behind. And if salt loses its saltiness, then it's no longer salt. It's a counterfeit. It's a cover-up. And I suppose we can, as Christians, think, oh, we can be salt, or put on an air of being salty and different. But if it's not real, it washes away and we show ourselves to be counterfeit. In Colossians 4, verse 6, it says, let your conversations be full of grace and seasoned with salt. Full of grace, undeserved favor, and seasoned with salt. Effective, powerful, and making a difference to the flavor of the conversation. Jesus also told his disciples, his followers, and he's also telling us as well, you are the light of the world. Have you ever had someone come into the room and the place just lights up? The whole dynamic of the room changes. They bring a warmth and a change of atmosphere. Those people are usually annoying, mourning people. Oh, can you suffer them? Oh. But On the other hand, I'm coming to realize that my mood, my attitudes can impact a room, can impact the dynamics of a room. And the people at my work reckon they know how good a mood I'm in by how I type on the computer. They think if I'm tapping the keys really hard, that's me just having a good time. Yeah, I've achieved my goal today. But they think I'm in a bad mood and say, oh, stay away from him today. He's not worth talking to. We'll keep him at a distance. Jesus is described as the light shining in the darkness in John chapter 1. He's a light shining in the darkness, showing God's way of salvation. And the path to having a relationship with God has been lit up. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. The things about light is it's supposed to be seen. It's meant to be seen. It's able to guide people and show them the right way and shows them the danger of the potholes in the road. And it makes people aware of the danger and hazards. You know what? As soon as you, as soon as anyone has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart and chose to make him the boss of their life and chose to follow him, a light switch has been flicked on your heart. He's made a difference. He lives in you and he's making changes. We've heard from the test and see of the changes that God has made in people's lives. You're now living in his kingdom with his values, and it changes your world upside down. You can now see and follow God's way and help others to see it too. Jesus has called you to be salt and life. But you might feel in your heart, oh, you know, I've accepted the Lord Jesus in my heart, but I just feel as though there's so much contaminants in my salt shaker, or I think my light has to get through some heavy-duty pollution to be an effect on anyone around me. There's issues that need to be dealt with. How can I be effective in influencing others? Well, Crew has a useful tract on how to live effectively for God by putting God on the main throne of your heart. And they use the concept of spiritual breathing, keeping short accounts with God. You breathe out your confession of sin and anything that might hinder your relationship with God. And because he's faithful and just, you can breathe in his forgiveness. And it's a concept that you can consciously think about, and it's a good tool that you can start off each new day. God, I want to breathe in your forgiveness, your light, your effectiveness. I want to be effective for you today. I want to be your salt shaker. I want to be your light bearer. Now, I don't know if everyone did that. If we could get the next slide, Sophie, because this isn't working. Ah, it did it. Could you go back to the last slide, please, Sophie? I'm having a fight with this controller. There we go. Just imagine if we all lived as salt and sunshine. How powerful that would be. God would be glorified, honored, and magnified in our lives. the world would be so much of a better place. Imagine the difference that work would be, that church would be. You wouldn't go away depressed after a service. Your family, what would your family be like if you were God's salt and sunshine in your family? If you, before you entered the room, you consciously said to yourself, or talked to God and said, God, help me to be your salt and sunshine as I enter into this situation today. Maybe we'll hear from you later on this year or next year in a taste and see section of the service of how God has impacted you and how you have impacted the people around about us. I pray that we might all be salt and sunshine in our spheres of influence around about us. We're going to pray now, but I'd like to encourage our online viewers to take the time out to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice that he made on our behalf. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great love, for the impact and light that you've shone into our hearts, and the fact that you enhance us and make us a difference in our society, that we can pray for our leaders and that we can make an impact and raise our voices to injustice that happens around about us. And I pray that you might be honored and glorified and lifted up and shown to be effective in our lives. I thank you for the impact you've made in our lives. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Now, we're going to enter into a time of remembrance. We're going to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, the light of the world. We're going to be taking the juice, which represents Jesus' blood, his body, which represents his broken body that he freely gave on the cross. And so we're going to have an open time of sharing. And you might like to use some of the verses that we've referred to throughout the day. We might remember the Lord Jesus Christ and honor him. I just wanted to read Matthew chapter 5 in the Message version. Some people like the Message, and it just has a different angle and a different way of listening. So have a listen to this as we think about how we're going to remember the Lord Jesus this morning. This is Jesus saying, "Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage." Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. You're not going to hide under a bucket. I'm going to putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Shine brightly. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll promise people to open up with God. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Let's spend a time of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ this morning.